The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
As households continue to feel the pinch from rising costs and the political agenda shifts both at home and abroad, there are big questions about priorities, pressures and where the political parties stand. Well, I'm joined now by Holly Kearns, leader of the Social Democrats. Holly, good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Now, the big political set piece of the last week was Micheál Martin's appearance in the Oval Office for St. Patrick's Day. You were quite critical of him going before he went. Well, you accepted that he should go, but you wanted him to say certain things, which he probably wasn't going to say, and in the event did not say.
Yeah, I think it was important for the Taoiseach to go. We recognise the importance of Ireland's relationship with the US and, crucially, the importance of diplomacy at a time like this. And when you consider what's happening globally, it is monumental. And Ireland is a small country, but we have a strong voice. We are a neutral country. We're not in NATO. So I think it was incumbent on the Taoiseach to be a voice for peace and for international law, crucially to represent the views of the Irish people. And I recognise that that is not an easy task. I really do. But I think it just was beyond belief. It was outrageous to say that Trump was doing his bit for peace in the Middle East when we know that Trump has quite literally just started a war in the Middle East.
Well, he has this board of peace, I suppose. That was the kind of reference.
A board of peace, it seems to be sticking it up to the United Nations, which, you know, is international law, and we should be trying to uphold that at the moment. So I recognise the importance of being there and the importance of diplomacy, but the Taoiseach did not use that opportunity to speak up for international law.
Would you have been happier then if he was dumped on by Trump as Zelensky was? I mean, Zelensky had a good line back at Trump when Trump says, you don't have any cards, and, you know, we're not playing cards because it's war. It's not, you know, this stupid game that Trump seems to think it all is.
I'm not suggesting the Taoiseach should have gone and had some kind of a screaming match with Trump or anything like that. And I recognise that it is a very difficult task to go over there. The Trump administration and Trump himself are extremely unpredictable. The Taoiseach did stand up for Keir Starmer. That's very welcome. He didn't stand up for international law. He didn't stand up for peace. He didn't even correct Trump when he called our president a man. So I think we've seen from other leaders that it is possible to go over and stand up for Trump. And I think when you consider Ireland's unique position, being a neutral country, not being in NATO, it was important for him to use his voice. And he was able to use his voice on some issues. That was welcome. I think he should have gone further.
He has been congratulated in many quarters for his performance. I mean, I think Pat Leahy in the Irish Times described him as a Trump whisperer. In other words, there was no real conflict between the pair of them. Whether that was Trump's decision or whether Micheál Martin managed not to provoke him.
If your measure of success is no real conflict, then yes. If your measure of success is representing Ireland, being a voice for Ireland and using that unique position Ireland has and standing up for peace. Because Pat, this is at a time where international law is being eroded. We have been lucky and privileged enough to live in a world with, of course, not complete, but relative peace and stability since the Second World War. And now we're at a time where international law is being eroded. We saw, rightly, a strong reaction when Russia illegally invaded Ukraine. We saw countries across the board standing up for peace, calling it out for what it was, a breach of international law. We have not seen that with the Trump administration.
But isn't the case that the United States is the key player? And once Trump turned the United States away from international institutions, I mean, a lot of them, be it the United Nations, the World Health Organization, they depend on the support of the US and the contributions of the US. And once Trump did a U-turn on all of these institutions, including the Paris Accord and all of those things, it shows how fragile they were. They did depend on the US for their very stability and existence.
Once Trump did a U-turn, everything changed. And I completely acknowledge that. And I know that the United Nations is not perfect and there's loads of work that needs to be done. But it is the best that we've got. And it is there to protect international law. But when you consider the U-turn and then the reaction of the world, of European leaders to stand back and let that happen. Trump has invaded 7 countries since he took office. And this policy of appeasement, we know, is not working. So it is incumbent on other world leaders, on other countries to stand up. It's not easy, and say, this cannot happen, because we have to protect international law. And of course, you can ration and reason in each individual circumstances why you should step back, not confront this, try not to cause any problems, all of these things. But if you step back, Pat, and look at where this is going, it is an erosion of international law.
Isn't it a question of kowtowing to the bully? That's what's happening. I mean, Trump is a sexual predator. We know that, the E. Jean Carroll case. We know from his own mouth what he likes to do with women. He's a misogynist. We know that. We know he's a convicted felon. Yet nobody, even in his own country, you know, in his own party, is saying this man's not fit for.
Precisely.
So you're expecting other people in other countries to actually say your leader is not fit for office, even though the Republicans who put him there are not prepared to say it.
I think we need to do that. I think European leaders need to stand together and stand up to the Trump administration. And I think Ireland could and should be a leading voice in that because of our unique position.
OK, so Micheál has a massive argument with Trump over Gaza, over the Middle East, over an illegal war on Iran. And then he says, OK, I'm going to punish him. And they can punish us. There's no question.
So for one, like I said, I'm not suggesting that Micheál should have gone and had a screaming match with Donald Trump. He did stand up for Keir Starmer effectively. That was welcome.
He also said Europe was a good place. It wasn't overrun. A great place to live. Yes. Lots of virtues attached to being in Europe.
But he should have stood up for international law. The problem with the Taoiseach's visit is that he literally did the opposite. He said that Trump was doing his bit for peace. In the Middle East, you couldn't make it up. The President of America has just started a war in the Middle East. And those were the words of the Taoiseach. When we're a neutral country, when we have that strong voice, when we could have used that voice to stand up for international law, which absolutely needs to be done. And also, Pat, it's incumbent on the Taoiseach to represent the views of the Irish people. And there's very strongly a view held by the Irish people. Our neutrality is a strength, and we are not using that huge opportunity to do the right thing in this situation.
I suppose you have to make comparisons as to how other leaders fared. And Rory Stewart, who presents The Rest is Politics with Alistair Campbell, said he praised Micheál Martin, saying he spoke fluently and diplomatically while also standing up for values, peace and European allies. Now, it's interesting, when you look at Merz, the Chancellor, had to sit there stumm for 45 minutes before he got a word in. The Japanese Prime Minister was insulted by Trump making a joke about Pearl Harbor. Micheál Martin did speak up a bit and wasn't slapped down. And it's that I know it's a low bar, but you know, he sailed over the bar by comparison with other leaders.
It is low bar, and like I said, I welcome the fact that he stood up for Keir Starmer. I think everybody does. I welcome the fact that he stood up for Europe in certain ways as well. What was extremely disappointing, and I think completely opposed to the Irish view, was saying that Trump was doing his bit for peace in the Middle East and that he didn't make any reference to international law when there is a clear breach of that. When you compare the Irish position to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, it is extremely stark. And I think he has...
But here you have the issue. I mean, Putin is charged with war crimes in the International Criminal Court. He'll never be brought there. He'll never go near enough to be arrested by anybody to have the temerity to arrest him. The same is true of Netanyahu. Trump could very easily be indicted on war crimes based on, for example, the destruction of the school in the early days of the current war, and also on his threat to annihilate the power plants, which provide people with energy and so on in Iran, right throughout that country. But they don't obey the International Criminal Court. They don't respect it. They're not party to it. What do you do when the bully decides he is beyond the rules of the school?
All the more reason to continue to call for those rules to be respected. And I know that that can seem like an impossibility at this point, but without international law, without war crimes being considered war crimes, where does this end? This is a slippery slope. And yes, Trump threatening to attack that civilian infrastructure, another war crime that should be called out for what it is. And everybody standing back, letting this happen, this policy of appeasement, how will this be looked back on? This was the complete erosion of international law. So it's all the more reason that this is a time that we should be standing up for peace, calling for peace, calling for the rule of international law to be respected. And Ireland, as a neutral country, should be one of the leading voices in that.
Now, Micheál Martin might say that everything he did was actually, whatever about standing up for Europe, standing up for Starmer, by doing what he did in the way he did it, he was standing up for Ireland. In other words, he was keeping Ireland on side with the United States. So much American investment in Ireland, so many industries that could be onshored by Trump, you know, by taxes on pharmaceuticals and so on, that he was actually looking after Ireland's interests by what he did.
I completely understand the point that you're making, but we also have to consider the fact that standing up for Ireland is standing up for international law, because we're not immune to what's happening in the world now. We've seen oil prices, gas prices, petrol and diesel prices spiking. This could cause global recession. So it's not that straightforward.
But do you
standing
go along,
up for Ireland means standing up for international law? Because of course that affects Ireland and it affects every country.
You keep talking about international law and standing up for these institutions that Trump has been dismantling. But I don't know whether you agree with Mark Carney when he says, you know, all of these international institutions, they were put there and the people who benefit from them are the big powers. And when it suits them, they don't observe them at all.
This is the thing that we need to be calling out.
But calling it out won't change it. I mean, Putin's not going to change if he's called out. Netanyahu's not going. He's not a big power, but he's a very significant power in one area of the world, the Middle East. But America and the United States and China, if you call them out, so what? We've been calling out China and the Uyghurs for years. What's happened? Nothing. We still keep buying iPhones made in China.
It is important that we never forget that calling it out can be effective and is extremely important. It's a similar concept to not calling out an issue with the Irish government in Ireland because, well, it's like saying, oh, well, they won't change it. You absolutely have to call it out and work towards that 100%. That needs to be done and it has never, ever been more important than it is now.
Now, we should talk about the Social Democrats. And, you know, when I think about Social Democrats, I think about the Labour Party and I think about parties on the left generally. I also look at Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in so many ways are Social Democratic parties. What's different about your lot?
Social Democrats don't just talk about doing things differently. We really do things differently. And I think what people are responding to, and we've seen the party going from strength to strength, you know, we doubled our number of councillors in the local elections. We doubled the size of our parliamentary party in the general elections. And since then, we've doubled in popularity in the polls. And I think it's representative of a party where people know where they stand with the Social Democrats. We don't promise the sun, moon and stars and under-deliver. We don't promise large tax cuts and massive investment. We're straight with people. We're policy-based. We're evidence-based. We have solutions. We're constantly bringing them forward and holding the government to account. And I think people are really looking for an alternative. I think we need a change in Irish politics, and I think that time is coming.
Now, the question of, you know, you never mention the other brand. I mean, Pepsi should never mention Coke in their television advertising or whatever. That's a rule. But when I look at, say, the Social Democrats and I look at the Labour Party, I'm wondering what's terribly different about your platforms and your philosophies?
Look, there's loads of overlap between Irish political parties. That's a reality. You know, we see two almost identical parties side by side in government, and I recognise that. And I think having lots of choice and a single transferable vote is actually quite compatible. People have options.
Well, again,
and
going
people
back
have
to the
choice.
Going back to
vote.
The analogy, if you've got 10 soap powders on the shelf of the supermarket, you'll probably sell more soap powder than if you only had two. So therefore, if you've got lots of parties on the left, you may actually get more votes for the left than you would if you only had one left party.
I think we know that, you know, the political landscape in Ireland is more fragmented than before, and like that, it does only offer people more choice. And I think, you know, what people would like to know and understand is like how we would cooperate with other parties. And we, you know, we'll talk to all parties after an election. We know that.
Are you a
government
party of
is
government?
Be,
is that what you want? I mean, to be in government, because, you know, it's great to be the hurler on the ditch and, you know, you can make great copy out of criticising. It's much harder to be constructive. So do you want to be a party of government next time out?
It's not great to be a hurler on the ditch. We absolutely want to be in government. You know, to be in opposition is an extremely important role, to hold the government to account, to come forward with solutions. But the absolute aim and focus of the Social Democrats is to build as strong as possible a mandate to go into the next government. We want to introduce our policies, and the more TDs we have after the next election, the more ability we have to do that. So our strong focus is building. We're building branches all around the country, the work of our TDs and councillors in their areas. We're growing all the time, and we are determined and we are focused on having an impact on the next government.
Famously, you had a baby on the day of the election, who's now grown. You know, it's been so long since the last election. That is a challenge for every politician, be they male or female, being kind of dislocated from the family. Is there anything that can be done to improve the way Leinster House is run, to make it more family friendly?
I think there are things that can be done, but look, this is a really complicated area, you know, so to go into the specifics, I think would perhaps be a bit too long for this sure. interview. But there is things that could be done. There is things that we need to look at. I have to say the tricky part for us as a family is certainly the geography. And yeah. so there's different things that would help different families depending on your constituency. So for example, I think if you were a Dublin TD or senator, it'd be really helpful if there was like a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday working hours. You're not sort of in after midnight voting, which is quite a frequent thing mm-hmm. in Leinster House. But for TDs who are further away from Leinster House and you're coming up for those 3 sitting days, well, no, you don't want to spread it out to 5 days where you're away from your sure. family. So it's not an easy thing to address.
This is a topic then for another day, I think, isn't it? Holly Kearns, leader of the Social Democrats, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.